The winter was better than average for precipitation. The summer is unfolding on a normal path, but it's a bad year for some fish stocks in the region. We heard the news months ago. Some commercial ocean fisheries just will not open this year because the fish numbers are so far down. That is the backdrop, as people very interested in the fate of fish gather later this month for the 9th annual Spring Run Chinook Conference and Symposium. It will be at the Forks of Salmon on the Salmon River, a Klamath River tributary in Siskiyou County. Two guests join us to talk about the events coming up. Karuna Greenberg is the Restoration Director at the Salmon River Restoration Council. Hi, Karuna.
Hello.
It's good to have you here today. And we also have with us Joshua Strange, who is a fisheries biologist and the owner and founder of Sweet River Sciences. Hello, Dr. Strange.
Good morning. Thank you.
Good to have you both here. Can one of you give us a history of this event and the participating groups? Karuna, why don't you take it on?
Sure. Yeah. This is the ninth Spring Chinook Symposium. It hasn't been exactly an annual event, but almost an annual event. And it's really to highlight Spring Chinook, which are, you know, quite different in how they behave than fall Chinook coming in really early in the season. Spring Chinook were traditionally the largest run on the Klamath River and are really highly valuable to fisheries both on the river and off the river because they come in early with higher waters and really with much more intact and stay around a lot longer. And so the event was really, you know, looking to highlight the fish that is the most imperiled on the Klamath River. And, you know, came about after we had years with really, really low returns on the Klamath and also in other rivers in California, and really was trying to bring together scientists and try and figure out what's going on with these fish and what can be done to help preserve them and restore their runs.
So, Karuna, are the spring and fall stocks of Chinook, even within one river like this, going to be somewhat distinct from each other genetically?
They, you know, for a long time, it was it's kind of gone back and forth with whether or not they were, but recent genetics has definitely showed that they are distinct and that the actual gene that is responsible for the different life history that the fish present was something that happened once a really long time ago and doesn't look like would easily happen again. And so that's definitely one of the things that is being highlighted at this Spring Chinook Symposium is recent genetics work by the labs at UC Davis that have come up with new ways of looking at genetics in fish and other species and really been able to pinpoint that gene and when it happened and how kind of unlikely it is that sort of event would happen again. So the real importance of preserving these fish as they are.
All right, which
and those genetics really back up the obvious life history differences between the two runs of fish. The Spring Chinook come in the springtime, as the name would imply, and they use the spring flows, the higher flows, to get into headwater streams like up into the Salmon River. And then they hold in the cold pools all summer long. And during that period, they're not eating. They're fasting. And then they spawn in the fall shortly before the fall run, which comes in the fall and gets immediately to spawning. And in order to do that fasting, they have to have a high fat content. And they use those stored reserves to survive and to develop their gonads. And, in fact, that is the genetic mutation or marker that's different as their fat storage gene. But one of the reasons why Spring Chinook are so important in that regard is because it allows them to occupy different habitats than fall run. It allows them to get up further upstream into headwater streams, and that would include places like the Upper Klamath Basin. And also because of that high fat content and the fact that they're coming in the spring, they're like the first salmon to come back, and they're extremely nutritious. So whether it's wildlife or whether it's local tribal people or recreational fishermen, it's the most sought after fish, and it's definitely not on equal level with Fall Run when it comes to the quality of the eating and the nutrition. So it's extremely valuable fish from that point of view, and it's definitely been a huge loss and cause for concern that spring Chinook are, you know, hanging on by a thread, so to speak, in the Salmon River only when it comes to the Klamath Basin outside of the Trinity River hatchery.
So, Joshua Strange, what are the numbers like this year?
Well, we'll be doing the dive shortly, and we'll have to see how those numbers look. Last year, the numbers were down, whereas the previous years they had been kind of up a bit. So for the Salmon River, what that would mean is that a down year would be around 200 to 300 individual adults for the whole Salmon River watershed, and then a good year would be 1,000 to 1,500. And obviously those numbers are alarmingly low, and so we want to both get those minimum, those low points higher, so we're not at such a risk of extinction, and then we also want to get those good years up as well so that we can make hay when the conditions are good.
All right, I want to come back to that distinction, though, because anybody who just thinks that, oh, yeah, the Fall Run and the Spring Run, they're the same. They're really not. I mean, they use the same highway, to use a human analogy, but they have different hometowns.
Yeah, in fact, when the, on the Sacramento River system, Spring Chinook were listed separate from Fall Run when it came to the Endangered Species Act. You know, they used this concept of evolutionarily significant units instead of species, because with salmon, it's the same species, but it's essentially it's a unique population that is worth managing and protecting as a unit under the Endangered Species Act. So in the Sacramento River watershed, they separated fall and spring, and they declined to do that on the Klamath, even though the evidence was basically the same. And a lot of us were really scratching our heads over that, because it's just obvious when you look at the life history differences that those are two very significant and, you know, distinct runs, and now the genetics are backing that up, what has sort of been obvious all along.
We're talking about Spring Run Chinook Salmon in the Klamath and Salmon Rivers with Joshua Strange, who's a fisheries biologist and the owner and founder of Sweet River Sciences. Karuna Greenberg is the restoration director of the Salmon River Restoration Council. They'll be participants in the Spring Run Chinook Symposium coming on July 27th and 28th to the Forks of Salmon School on the Salmon River. You can join us on the exchange as we talk about the fate of fish. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Karuna, every stream is different, obviously, but what are some of the things that make the Salmon River unique?
Well, the Salmon River is unique in a lot of ways. I'm a little bit biased, but
sure.
It is one of the largest tributaries to the Klamath River, and it produces a lot of really cold, clear, clean water. It's unregulated. There's no dams on the Salmon River.
No dams at all on the salmon.
No dams at all, and from there on out all the way to the ocean. There's also, the headwaters are basically the Marble Mountain Wilderness, the Russian Wilderness, and the Trinity Alps Wilderness. So there are no significant diverters or polluters on the river. It is 98% federally owned and managed. There's very little private land. And it hosts all runs of anadromous fish that are present on the Klamath. And it has the largest run of wild spring Chinook that's left in the Klamath Basin. And so I think it provides one of the best opportunities to really be a refuge for salmon going into the future. And it also, you know, has a lot of past impact, so it can be seen as this, you know, kind of pristine river, but it has had extensive mining in the past, hydraulic mining and others, and also definitely has had extensive logging and has definitely been impacted by fire suppression and resulting megafires and that kind of cycle. So, but it is really a unique river in a lot of ways, and there's being mostly federally owned and managed, there are a lot of opportunities for restoration on a real landscape level and reach level along rivers that are more difficult to achieve in other river systems.
So I understand the efforts to restore fish runs in the salmon go back about 25 years. What markers of success do you have so far?
They do, yeah. This is actually our 25th year, and we're gearing up for a big celebration later in September. You know, it started, our organization started around Spring Chinook, and in the 90s and late 80s, there was some really low runs of Spring Chinook, and local people started to really notice and try and, you know, and kind of get concerned, as well as local biologists. And we started basically with an education campaign kind of on all levels of just getting fisheries biologists and local residents and school children and everyone, fishermen and anglers, together and talking about and just recognizing, you know, the issues that these fish, you know, dropped below 200 in the very early 90s, and that didn't seem good. And so there were a series of actual kind of plays that were put on, bringing all these different people together and talking about the kind of the plight of the fish and all of the different ways in which we might impact them. And that campaign was hugely successful. It really stopped. It kind of brought on the local community as major allies, because everybody cared about the fish, but a lot of people weren't really understanding the implications of what their own actions might be. And so during that period of time, you know, local catch of Spring Chinook basically disappeared, and local people who had, you know, previously caught the fish started becoming some of its greatest defenders, and really, you know, making sure that other people knew when they saw some out-of-town fisherman come through that, no, this isn't something you can do here. And so that really kind of changed the way that, you know, that it just made it people's own cause in a lot of ways. And we started doing education in the school programs. We've you know, started in on doing a lot of monitoring, the Spring Chinook dives being part of it, Spring Chinook symposiums, doing temperature monitoring, and then started actually doing more restoration work, working with partners to remove barriers. There were some dams and little small dams and culverts that were barriers that were changed bridges, and then also just annual sort of making sure that fish have access to cold water refugia, in improving habitat by putting extra cover for juveniles. And then now we're kind of moving into much larger restoration projects that include large-scale floodplain restoration and
So just a whole suite of things, obviously. I want to ask Joshua Strange about this part of it, though. I mean, while all this attention goes to stuff in the river and around the river, how much does climate change enter into the discussion, particularly when you're talking about how critical water temperatures are?
Yeah, climate change is really at the forefront. We're seeing the impacts already, where lower reaches of the Salmon River become increasingly warm, and it's kind of squeezing the fish upriver, but they can only go so far upriver because it becomes too steep for passage at a certain point. So one of our concepts that we're working under is that the Salmon River does have very high value and rare value as a long-term refuge for cold water salmonids in California because of the public ownership, the lack of development, and being some of the highest mountains within the Klamath Basin, including containing the only true glacier in the coastal zone of California. So all those factors really present a great opportunity for the Salmon River to be a wild salmon refuge into the future with extreme climate change. But in order to do that, we really have to act now to give the fish, give the river as much of a chance as possible under those types of scenarios. So it's kind of an analogy of if there's a hurricane coming, you know it's coming, you don't know exactly when or where it's going to hit, But if you just panic, you're going to be in a lot of trouble. So what you got to do is have strategic action and get ready. So that's what we're trying to do now, is really accelerate the large-scale restoration planning and recovery in the Salmon River. And one of the big issues is the impacts of the historic mining during the gold rush from the hydraulic hoses that were washing down the mountainside after the gold. So the Salmon River Restoration Council is leading a collaborative project along with the U.S. Forest Service to address that. And it's one of those things, at first glance, you know, the Salmon River just looks so pristine, you don't really notice the mining so much except for these piles of cobbles. But those piles of cobbles essentially become solar heat collectors that are just baking in the sun and really heat the air temperature, which in turn heats the water temperature. And the other thing that has happened is that a lot of those cobbles are now in the river, and they're too big for salmon to spawn in. They're too big for them to move. And they're even too big for ordinary floods to move and sort out the gravel. So one of the things we're realizing is that we do need to take on these legacy impacts that have been around for, you know, 150 years or more. And that's, I think we're kind of helping to lead the way in our region, because there is actually a lot of legacy impacts from the historic gold rush that need to be addressed. So that's one of the big things in order to have the river be more natural, more functioning, and actually go in and either use techniques where we facilitate the river to do the work and to renew those areas, or we actually go in with heavy equipment and help speed up the process.
So reaching back not just to what things were like a few years ago, but well before our own lifetimes, and looking at ways in which the river can be reshaped. This is all on the Salmon River in California. The 9th Spring Run Chinook Symposium comes to the Forks of Salmon School on July 27th and 28th, bringing people from clearly all over California and other parts of the country, it looks like, as well, to talk about the fate of the Spring Run Chinook salmon. Karina Greenberg is the Restoration Director for the Salmon River Restoration Council. Joshua Strange is a fisheries biologist and the owner and founder of Sweet River Sciences. Thank you both for joining us today in the exchange, and best of luck with the symposium.
Thank you so
much.